Good morning, early church. We have a baptism coming up, and so it's just a reminder of the date. If you're looking to be baptized, or maybe one of your kids planning on getting baptized, notice that there's two classes that we want. One of two classes we want them to attend, and so note those dates in your bulletin there. Also, a reminder, our Harvest Festival is coming up, and starting next Sunday, we're going to start taking sign-ups if you'd like to volunteer, and so we've never really counted. But we know we get somewhere between 3,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people come through. It's a big night, and so we need a lot of workers. And so, if you'd like to help out with that, that would be great. So we'll be starting that next Sunday. And one more announcement: we have Walk for Freedom that we're helping out with. A21 is ran by Christine Kane and her husband. She came from Hillsong in Australia, and it's in a number of different countries around the world. It's against human trafficking. And anyways, they're doing a Walk for Freedom. Kelly and a group from our church did it last year. It's off the 79 in Temecula. You could either go online to A21 and get signed up there, and you could either join our Calvary group. I just forgot the name of it, but it's in the bulletin there, or you can sign up as an individual, but you can go check that out if you'd like to help out. And so we wanted you to know that's coming up in October also. All right, let's pray, and I'll introduce our morning and what we're going to be doing today. Lord, we pray that you would help us to see your people, especially these unreached people groups. Lord, that we would be able to see them as you see them, to be able to learn their story behind these faces that we're going to see this morning. God, help us not only to see the whole group, but the one. Those that are just uniquely loved, God, by you. Be able to see each of these individual souls as important and so greatly valued and loved. God, that we would see them the same way. Help us to notice them and to listen to them and to engage them with the most magnificent message ever dispatched. Your good news. Help us with that. In Jesus' name, amen. First week, if you're new this morning, just to let you know, we're in this kind of four-part series. We don't do a whole lot of series, but when we do them, they're very intentional and kind of thought through. And so we have this 4 weeks. And so our first week, we looked at God's story when it comes to not only missions, but the unreached people groups, the people that are still unreached. And we did that our first week. And really hearing that our God is a missionary God, and seeing from Genesis to Revelation, it's what he's about. And peopling eternity from all these different tribes and tongues and nation. The next week or last week, what we had done was our story, specifically Calvary Murrieta, starting with our first trip back in 1987 and learning about missions and continuing to do so and educating ourselves on how we could be better in the Great Commission. This week, we're excited about, we're going to look at our handles, and actually Larry is going to spend most of our time kind of just unveiling those. So I really pray this morning you'd simply have open heart, open mind, be asking just one question: God, what do you want me to do? What part could I play? What role, what unique role can I fulfill? And so you'd be listening for that, and I believe God's going to speak to your heart on exactly what that is for you. And again, we only have this morning, and so Larry probably has, like, he could be standing up here for 2 weeks explaining what all we can do, but we're going to hit the highlights there. And so we're calling this Handles because of this picture behind me there. I remember learning this at one of our human trafficking conferences and seeing that picture for the first time, but that's a Greek olive oil jar. And obviously they're so massive, and if you picture that filled up with oil, there's no one person that's going to be able to pick that up by themselves. Thus, the multitude of handles that are all around it, it would take a multitude of people to grab onto this and to be able to pick it up. We're seeing it kind of the same way to reach an unreached people group. Calvary Murrieta can't do it alone, so we're going to have strategic partners. But again, as we look within Calvary Murrieta and see that each one of us, what we want to lay out is each one of us can grab onto a handle here. Still doing the things that you're doing, but to be able to grab one of these handles, to be able to help out with this great commission that he has given us. Kintsugi is a Japanese technique for taking broken pottery and basically repairing them with seams of gold. The word means, as you see in the top left there, gold joinery in Japanese. The repair work was done using a lacquer or resin that was sprinkled with powdered gold. Made it look beautiful. This kintsugi artist believed that when broken pieces of pottery are glued back together, often with pure gold, the result can even be more beautiful and valuable than the original. I was thinking about that, and maybe that's God's view of our world also. Not saying that God desired man to fall, but even because of the fall, God already looking ahead and designing out redemption and all of that, that this picture in the end can even be more beautiful than what was designed in the beginning. Even through our failures, even through our brokenness, and we could see that in our individual lives, but also in the big picture of the world. Maybe Jesus sees more beauty in broken pottery arranged into a mosaic like the mosaic behind me. Listen to this definition of a mosaic. A combination of diverse elements, forming a more or less coherent whole. It's taking all of these different individual cut pieces, each one being unique in and of itself. Some might even consider it trash or something to be discarded. But in an artist's mind, they can take something so beautiful out of that. And so imagine each of these tiles behind me representing those 11,751 linguistic groups in our world. And now, and I just thought about this a little while ago, and I should have done it on my keynote, but what I would do is I would take the fade slider and fade out about 62% of that to show that in God's mind, this is a beautiful picture that we have behind me of these mosaic tiles there. But the God's view and the way he sees the whole entire thing, that about 62% of that would be completely darkened out there. And we're missing the beauty that's there with these unreached people groups. Our two groups that we're seeking to reach and go after, the first one, the Hani, and I know you've been introduced to them because, Larry and I went back in the early summer to visit both of these groups, and you've heard a little bit about them right away. The Hani are recognized to be among the poorest people in Southeast Asia. They're one of 56 officially recognized ethnic groups. They're in China. Most of the Hani live in the Yunnan province, so on the far western side of China. They also live in Tibet, Vietnam, Myanmar, and Laos. The Hani are polytheists, meaning they believe in many gods. They worship nature. They're animists. And so they'll see basically in a tree, in a rock, that God can be found in any inanimate or animate objects. They also worship, there's the spirit of their ancestors. They have a Zuima, who directs religious activities. They have a Bima, which performs exorcism and magical rituals. And they have a Nima, that makes predictions and administers herbal medicines. We saw that in that one place that we were at when the guy was doing the acupuncture in that guy's hand. There are a few hundred Christians among the Hani. You say, well, that's a good start. Well, it is. But they're spread out and don't have an organized church at all. The Hani that are believers are usually in the larger cities, and so there's literally whole entire villages that don't have any representation of Christ. And so there's no organized church, even though a handful of believers. The Joshua Project calls them one of the most gospel-neglected of China's minorities. The Bible has not yet been translated into the Hani language. So just a brief overview of the Hani, and again, we just want you to fall in love with the faces that the Lord's in love with there also. The Rohingya also called the Rohingya, but we'll try to represent them as Rohingya. It's changed a number of different times depending on who you talk to. So I'm trying to work my mind back to Rohingya. But either way, Rohingya, they're also called the Roh. And that makes it even easier. They're considered 100% Muslim, but they're not radicalized. We've been there a few times and very sweet people. They're recognized as the world's most persecuted minority and the largest stateless population in the world. Myanmar, or Burma as it's formerly called, an extremely diverse nation with 135 distinct ethnic groups within just their country, right? That's how many the Burmese government recognizes, but these 135 distinct groups, Myanmar, breaks them down into these 8 major national ethnic races seen by the colors on the map behind me. But why I put that little kind of rectangle there, the Rohingya are not even acknowledged on this map. So everybody's saying that's where they live, right where that was, that's where they lived, I should say, before they had to flee into over the border into Bangladesh. Where that is, it should be a whole different color for that group there, but they don't even recognize them. Matter of fact, there's a law, you can't even use the word Rohingya. That was the first time I traveled over there in 2014. I asked my friend that I was flying in with anything I should know, and he says, just one thing, don't ever use the word Rohingya while we're there. All right. Such a hatred towards them from the Buddhists living throughout Myanmar. The Rohingya have lived in a very desperate situation due to a very oppressive government in Myanmar, in the Rakhine State. Since 2017, there's been over 700,000 people that have fled. There are now refugees over in Bangladesh. The number is most likely closer to about 1 million. And they live in the Cox's Bazar on the coast of Bangladesh as refugees. You know, as you try to figure out how poor a group is, one of the ways of looking at it is infant mortality. Throughout all of Myanmar, so the country as a whole, the infant mortality is 35 babies that die, basically right before birth or right after birth, 35 per thousand. That's the country in a whole. Just the Rohingya, 244 infant deaths per thousand. And just as a disparity or as a contrast, United States, 5.8. And so you just see the plight that is there with something as simple as diarrhea, of how many children under the age of 5, I forget the statistic on that one, but it's just an overwhelming number that was something as simple as that can be cured. Their ultimate need is the gospel. We've been helping out with very basic things like shelter and food and education and medical care through our friends at Partners Relief and Development for a number of years. But now we seek to make a strategic and concerted effort into reaching the Rohingya with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to continue kind of both arms or both veins, continuing to meet their most basic needs because they're exactly that, but also looking at how do we do that now in bringing them the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, I'm going to end there. Invite up Larry. He's going to hit on 4 main categories and looking again at your unique role in the UPGs. Let's welcome up our friend, Mr. Larry.
Good morning. How y'all doing? Well, Brian's right. I have more than enough to cover for a couple of weeks, but he did a great job of taking the time to introduce you to our friends. We're going to refer to them today as the Roh and the Ho because internationally or when we post them on websites just to protect some of our strategic partners, that's better to do that for them. And we, as a group here, we understand that to accomplish this goal, we need help. So for us to even think about the things that Brian talked about, he showed you the picture of those jars. We need help, and our audience is you, and some of our new strategic partners that are out here today, as I was talking to them, I've been here 29 years and have had the privilege of watching this church participate in many, many, many things. And so we're on this next stage, an adventure that we want to invite you on. Again, we have a limited time to cover what we're going to do. I don't even think this morning I could cover all of the connections that the Lord has already made uniquely, internationally. I mean, even Wednesday night I was on a WhatsApp video call to a lady she's in Hong Kong at the time. I had to decide what I could say, sorry. She's in Hong Kong, and we were able to talk freely there. But it's just amazing to me, those connections. And we want to continue to have you join us in those connections. And so I want to invite you on this journey to share the gift of Jesus to those that have no possibility to know him. That's the gravity of what we're talking about today. These folks, without our help, obviously the Holy Spirit can do it any way he chooses, but right now we understand the way to do this is for us to go on this journey together, and I'd like to invite you to use your talents for kingdom building, your finances for kingdom building, your time, your thoughts to build a kingdom. And so where we're going to build from, where we're going to start at, is this foundation of prayer and this idea that we need to recognize the importance of prayer. I'd like to share a few verses with you first, and I'm going to be all over the place with verses, but if you're taking notes, the first one's from John 15:7. It says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." 1 Thessalonians reads this way, "See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Acts 2:42, when we look at the early church, we're reminded, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers." In Luke, "Now Jesus was praying," our greatest example, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.'" That's Luke 11:1. This idea that our foundation, where we're going to grow from, where we're going to build from, is the importance of prayer. And knowing that it's important to pray, there's several ways to pray. And specifically, I'd like to talk first about our good friends, the Hani. First, I'd like you to think about praying for some international workers. We have some that are there from our church. We're going to be a little bit discreet on mentioning people's names. You can see some of the folks afterwards, but you know that their prayer card says they're Ramsey, so I'll say that. But I want you to pray for their health, their ability to be undiscovered, for proper circumstances to grow their tea business, to really establish who they can partner with both nationally here and internationally there, with this ability to continue to share the gospel. The next, we'll talk a little bit more about this organization later, but there's a lady, I've been asked to change her name, so today she'll be known as Nancy. That's what we're going to call her. I'm going to ask you to pray for Nancy. She has similar needs. She needs safety in travel, and she needs some visitors that appear to be research partners to travel with her. So I want you to pray for her that some research partners can join. The very few believers that Brian talked about here, we were able to actually see a few folks come to Christ. I want you to think of, just burn these faces in your mind and pray. I'm not asking you to find new time to pray. Just take the time to pray for them. Next, open doors for the gospel. We had an open door when we were there. It's Myanmar and China and Vietnam, these areas where these folks are at. These countries are getting tighter and tighter and tighter. They're closing down on the gospel. So pray for open doors. For Bible translation, there's a few people who are currently working on this. Pray that it would be done quickly and properly. And then for future opportunities for a team to go, there's a few possibilities there. So pray for wisdom of when to go and how to go. So direction and timing. Here's our other friends, the Rohingya. Brian says Rohingya. I'm going to say Rohingya. You guys are going to be all messed up. But either way, these lovely people, For them, same thing. Health and safety for those living in the camps. I want you to imagine with me for a moment that you live in a 10 by 10 square, about a square the size of eight chairs right here. That's your home. And in your home that you now live in, there's no running water. There's no electricity. You may have a solar panel. There's no vegetation. There's no place to plant vegetation. And and as you fleed from wherever you were at, you had nothing that you could really take with you except for what you could carry on your back. So maybe a change of clothes, maybe pots and pans, but that was probably too heavy for you to take as you were fleeing. So come with me, if you will, with them. And then the monsoons come. And the picture of the monsoons with the health and safety that's going on with open latrines, it's really a very sad thing. They're cooking over charcoal. That's the plight. So I want you to pray for those living in the refugee camps for just cleanliness and safety for them. Bible translation. Okay, so here is the amazing thing. So we adopted this people group. Oh, we talked about this. We've been working on this for a year and a half. We've been working on strategic partners, and the seed company is one of our strategic partners. We'll talk about this in a little bit. But the Rohingya, right now, the seed company, through this church and people that we don't know, the seed company had a need for these guys, and for the Rohingya, the need has been met. And so continue to pray, because the finances have been made. Since the time that we started, somebody else has stepped in and said that they will do that. So continue to pray for that generous giver to have the finances, whoever that person is, and continue to pray that that translation goes well. For national and international workers, we know several people that are working in the area. We know they're traveling in and out, so I want you to pray for their safety. I want you to pray that there's an open door that they can get past the police guards and the things that are there. Not that they're doing anything wrong, but just as these people are put away, we need to be able to get them through these checkpoints. Open doors to share the gospel. Because these folks have been pushed out of their homes, there's this level that they don't really trust. They're wondering about foreigners. They're relying deeply on foreigners to help them. But this idea that when we come and we share love and appreciation, that there would be an open door to share the gospel, and they would have an open heart to hear about Jesus. Now, we do know of one Burmese pastor. I am going to refer to him as Saul. That's not his real or full name. Pastor Brian has met him. Saul is currently in hiding. There's an opportunity that Brian will be able to meet him, and we'll get you another report on that. But pray for him. He's separated from his family. He's separated from the other believers. He's in hiding, but we'll be able to follow up with him. In Bangladesh, we met some of the most amazing Bangladesh believers that I can't even imagine. They're Muslim background believers. Many of them were imams in the past, and they came to Christ. They had a mosque of thousands, and now they've led thousands to Christ in Bangladesh, and they now have transitioned to sending these workers into the camps. Please pray for these guys. They're amazing. We'll talk a little bit about them more. Pray for future opportunities to actually go either into Burma. We should call it Myanmar, but Brian and I stand with the rebels, so we call it Burma. Or Bangladesh with a team. We have an invitation to go, but training is necessary before we go, and so be praying for that. Partners Relief and Development is one of them, and they have a table outside. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Invest. This quite possibly might overwhelm some of you. So let me just start with this. If you wanted to invest, I have an opportunity for you to invest financially for as low as $38 and as high as $100,000. So for those of you who fell out of your chair at the last number, and some of you said, I don't know if I can do that in the first number, we all fall somewhere where we have this opportunity to invest. Each and every one of us has, we live here in the U.S., and so when we look at the plight of these folks, we know that we all have this opportunity. So one of our first and new... There it is. One of our first and new strategic partners. Nikki, are you in here? I think she's coming to the next surface. So it's a new strategic partner. They have been caring for the row for quite some time. They are actually in the camps. They share the same values as we do. As we started talking about strategic partners, and I mentioned that last week, we were looking for folks that shared our same value and our same heart and our same desire. So they're in the camps. with a focus on healthcare. It's a community-based healthcare, and the help they're bringing is hygiene, disease prevention, water purification, and other healthcare needs. Food for the Hungry, their name is a little bit confusing because you think maybe they're only feeding. But why we like them and why they say they're like valued, because as they go in and develop these specific needs in the community, their end goal is the same as ours. We're an opportunity to see them reached for Christ. So as they're teaching and training in this much needed area, especially as Brian talked about how many infant mortality deaths and the things that are there, they're able to start that and care for them. What we have partnered with them on, they had a $235,000 need, and I said, okay, I talked with Brian and I said, let's try for $100,000. So as a church, that's us gathering together, trying to raise $100,000 over the next 24 months. And I think I worked it out today. If we had 350 people that did $15 a month, that would actually make it. Might be $16 a month. 350 people, $15 a month for the next 24 months is our $100,000 goal. So if you're interested in that, Food for the Hungry is here. They're one of our tables on the outside. Please stop to meet Nikki. She's with her husband out there as well. They drove out from Arizona to meet us. Partners Relief and Development is doing Five Alive. Do you guys have those flyers in your hand? Did you guys get them? So it's a black and white flyer, Five Alive. We did a Five Alive campaign before, but I really love what they wrote on there. They asked if you would invite five extra people to dinner. Would you just simply have five guests for dinner? And they worked that out to $10 per person or $50. And then what that will do is that allows this opportunity for a simple $50 donation. That allows us this awesome opportunity to have those folks for dinner. And what they get is a tarp. And what I like about Partners is Partners buys the expensive tarp. Now, this may not make sense to you, but if you were in the monsoon and tons of rain were coming on you, and then a few days later, a bunch of sun came and baked that plastic tarp, and it fell apart right away, and you need another tarp, what they do is they bring a really nice tarp, and they bring some other needs. So if you look on the flyer, it talks about the other needs they get. It sets up a family of five. And so please join us in Five Alive. That will be ongoing. We will continue to talk about that. It brings much needed emergency to relief. And so if you can partner with us. Shane, where are you? Everybody look at Shane and wave at him. Shane was with me in Sitway. He's our morning representative for Partners Relief and Development. There's another little unique thing that's there. We don't have a whole lot of them, so maybe First Service will get all of them. But Adney Gumer wrote a reader, I'll say, like an elementary reader. So it's kind of an ABC book, if you will, that talks about the plight of somebody meeting up with a refugee from Myanmar. Any of the proceeds that go from that will go to support the Rohingya. So buy a tarp, help a family stay out of the rain. The Seed Company is working on a Bible translation for the Hani people group. And as I said before, the Rohingya, their current project is funded. Right now, they're holding on to this project for us because I said, hey, wait a minute, I haven't announced yet. I love that everybody's being generous towards these people groups, but could you hang on to this for us? So if you are interested or excited about getting the Bible translated and the Bible written in the Hani language, you can do this. There's currently a $13,000 need that they're trying to raise. The amazing thing about this is I just recently learned there's three separate family groups of language, meaning some of these folks that live in the area that Brian and I were can't communicate with other Hani that are in another region. Same people, similar language. The dialect is so different, it makes it very difficult to translate. And so if you would, please be interested in getting Bible translation. The next thing that we have, Global Recording Network. Blaze, are you in the back today? Please stand up for a minute. Is Greg with you? Greg's out front. So Blaze, everybody could say good morning to Blaze. Blaze has attended church for us for a long time. He's representing Global Recording Network. He's got some official title there, like director or something. I don't remember what it is. You can sit down now. I mean, seriously, he's a volunteer there, but also heads up many things there. But they are working on audio translation for both the Hani and the Rohingya. It's an amazing ministry. They're right here in town. They'll be outside, so stop and take a moment to meet them. They'll give you some more details on what they're doing. The workers that they have in the field is $3,500. $3,500 keeps their workers in the field for a year, not for a day, not for a month, but their whole annual budget to continue working on the Rohingya language project. Julie and Ryan, will you guys stand up for a moment? Clap or say hello to these guys or something. Okay, they are with an organization called Pioneer Bible Translators. In our efforts to connect with the Rohingya and the Hani, we cast a wide net for strategic partners, and we came across Pioneer Bible Translators. They do things as business as mission. They do some prayer walks. They do church planting, and they do linguistic Bible translation, plus a bunch of other stuff. Paul Brown is. He's not in here right now, but Paul Brown is out here with another couple. You can stop and meet them afterwards, and they can tell you a little bit more about them. But many of you may have recognized Julie. Julie is formerly Julie Garanzi, grew up here in our church. Her and Ryan met in the mission field in Kosovo. One of our works there that we will be talking about further down the road. But anyhow, as the Lord would have it, they got married how many months ago? 9 months ago. And they candidated with Pioneer Bible Translators. I think this is an important thing for us to understand, to grasp the idea. Both are college graduates. Both are working very hard, serving the Lord. And both have this call to go to an unreached people group. They had not talked to us necessarily ahead of time. We had been with them through the process. But as they're praying, they candidated. Now they're representatives. The next thing, they're going to be missionaries in training, and then they'll be missionaries on the field. So as representatives and moving to the next point, Pioneer Bible Translators has some very serious requirements for them to go in the field. Even though Julie has a degree in linguistics, they have some higher expectations. So they have some more education that they have to do, some more cross-cultural training they have to do, some church planting that they have to do. And Ryan got accepted to Johnson University, pretty exciting, for a master's program. But to get them in the field, because we're going to unreached people groups, it's unusual. So they're in need of pre-field training, and they're in need of financial support. Roughly, I'm going to say $2,000. It could vary because they might be able to get their education done quicker, or it might take a little bit longer. But if you would like to be on the forefront of helping a young couple properly prepare so that when they get in the mission field, A, they don't get discovered, and B, that they do it properly, stop and see them. They'll be just right around the corner as you go out today. We'd love to have you stop and see them. Let's see, what do I have is... Okay, word of peace. Now, when Brian and I came back, do you remember, like, we were both like two children in a candy store, all excited, bouncing around because we met these Bangladeshi pastors that started loving on the folks. Brian pointed out these hands over here. Do you see these hands right here to my left? He talked about them last week. The lady in the lower left-hand corner for you guys, those are her hands. She's a Christian Rohingya, and she's a school teacher. Now, what we've learned about education is when we educate children, it helps them. It helps keep them from being trafficked. It helps them to understand they get more protection by having simple education. When the Rohingya lived in Myanmar, they were not allowed to go to school. They were not allowed to go to school. They were denied health care. They were denied education. And so for years, these children have not been able to go to school. They get pressed. They're now in Bangladesh, and guess what? They're in school. So if you're interested in caring for children in school age, $38 a month sends this child to school. They'll educate them. They'll get a meal. They're Christian teachers that are there. They'll be able to help protect them. So we get to influence these children with Christ. We also get to help protect them in their own communities. And so if you'd like to participate with Way of Peace, I've said it wrong, so I got it right today, Way of Peace Ministry, you can You can donate directly through church. The other exciting thing is if you want to help them build a church building. So how many of you are like me when you got to do a remodel or a construction project, you're thinking, oh my goodness gracious, there's no way we could afford that. To build a school building there is between $1,200 and $1,500. So if you really wanted to make a huge investment and an amazing impact, we have an opportunity to help them build some schools and some school buildings. OMF. For those of you who are wondering what OMF stands for, it stands for OMF. I asked them this morning, what do I call you? Are you guys anything but OMF? And they're now OMF. If you're not familiar with OMF, those of you who know who Hudson Taylor is or China Inland Mission, that's him. What Brian was telling me yesterday that's not in my notes, but I thought it was the most amazing thing, is as Hudson Taylor was on his way to China, he made a stop in Myanmar. And where he stopped in Myanmar, he ran into the Karen? The Karen people group. And the Karen people group are now 38% reached in that Buddhist country. Just an amazing thing. And then he went on to China to do amazing things. But that's the foundation of this organization. Again, the founder was Hudson Taylor. They have workers in both regions, and they desire to see both of these people groups reached. They recently, I was recently on the phone with one of their workers. What did I tell you her name was? Nancy, thank you. One person paying attention, I love it. That's good. So Nancy, I had to change your name today. That's why I had to ask you. Nancy would like visitors. So Nancy, to help her cover, she would like visitors. So a visitor to her, some of you might call that a team, but she needs visitors. And she needs people that are interested in photography, people that are interested in education, people that are interested in sewing or fabric or art. And you would go and you would appear to be a tourist. We could go as a club. That's what we would call ourselves. And we'd have an opportunity to invest in her. If you want more information, you can talk to Paul Brown. And eventually we could organize a group to go together. But if you're interested in a very simple way to help somebody stay protected and encouraged, that's through OMF. I didn't tell you a lot about them, but they're here. Stop and see them. They're doing amazing things. Educate. So for us, we need to learn. In your bulletin, there marked a couple of classes, but what we would like to do is encourage you to take a class. Learn more about our vision, mobilization, and how you can participate through our upcoming classes. Learn about God's heart for the nations. Right behind me, here's our global classes. First one's going to start on October 7th. The next one will be out in January. You can sign up for both of them online or in the information booth. I do have somebody assisting me in the office here now. Her email address, that's Michaela. Her email address is there behind me. But I would love to invite you to come and join us for that. This next one is our Bridges class. We did our Bridges class here already once, and we'd like to invite you to do that. And that helps us as we're stepping into these regions where they're Muslims. So as we have many Muslim background believers, this is our opportunity to learn how to build a bridge and show love and appreciation. If you're not aware, we have many, many, many Muslims living in our community, right here in our grocery stores, right here in our parks, right here locally. It's a great opportunity to learn how to step out and reach them. As we go back and just talk, I'm going to go back to this one that says educate. Here's a couple of things I want you to be thinking about. So if you could do some research for us on both people groups, we need someone to do some research. So we do specific prayer. We want to pray specifically who they are, where they are, and where they go. So if you're one of those persons that likes to nerd out, I'm going to say it like that, and dig in deep and find out what's going on. Recently, I was just given a magazine, a copy of the Rolling Stones magazine, because there's a huge article on the Rohingya in there. Totally blessed that someone would bring that to me and let me know. Next, we're looking for people who are business people. We call it business's mission, those that could teach and train either nationals, how to do business so they could get out of their poverty, or if somebody's here locally that wants to relocate their business or do some of their business in one of these areas. So if you're one of those people that would like to do that, if you'd like to employ people overseas, if you know how to develop a business, if you can write a proper business plan, if you want to invest in a business in these regions, or simply answer questions on business, we'd love to have you come along with us. It's part of that education process. The next one, Brian mentioned this. I'll let it catch up with me. There it is. Joshua Project, better known as Unreached of the Day. So one of the very simple ways, for those of you who are thinking, there is no way I can invest, I can't educate, I'm not there, Larry, you're giving me too much to do. One of the great ways I would like to invite you just to simply participate is to download this app on your phone. Every day, you can open it up, and it gives you an opportunity to pray for an unreached people group. If you look at this, Brian did a great job of showing us exactly how to do that. And if you're like me and Brian, you need the little icon. Like, what the heck does it look like? Oh, that's what it looks like. Okay, so come and join us for that. If you remember Brian's story as how he got introduced to the Hani people is through this app. He was simply going through the app, praying for an unreached people group of the day. They came up, touched his heart. It's kind of cool because he's took a screenshot, sent it to me. Hey, Larry, what about these people? And then here we are. So take time to download that. The other thing that I have is if you happen to be an educator, if you happen to be in your you want to educate, one of the great things you could do, one of the open doors, is consider using your training either on a short-term basis or a long-term basis and educate folks in the field. My final point that we want to talk about today is mobilize. And how do we get from here to there? What is it that we can do? What are the easy steps? What are the hard steps? Okay, and so some of these are pretty simple. Global Recording Network, I'm going to ask you simply to go visit them. Their booth is out here today. Stop and see that. Global Recording Network has the largest collection of audio language in the world, more than the Smithsonian does. They're right here locally. You can stop by and see that. I'd like to invite you to go and visit the Chinese church that meets on our lower campus. Pastor Jeff is ready to receive you. They meet during our second service. Stop by and see them. That's taught in Mandarin and translated in English. It's a great opportunity for you to have a cross-cultural opportunity. We like to call these a taste of missions. Be on our prayer team for our pioneer missions. What we're looking for is a leader to lead a monthly prayer group. And if you'd like to gather together and lead that team, we'd love to have you sign up for that. If you want to simply be on one of those prayer teams, sign up for that as well. Consider hosting an international student. You can do that right here through our school. You have an opportunity right here on our campus. Many of you may have students already at a public school or somewhere else and an opportunity to host a student. Foster or adopt through, here we go, through ICA. I had a great meeting just Friday with International Christian Adoption Agency. Some of you know Andrew Paulson and his wife Charlotte. They attend church here with us. They right now are bringing in refugees that are coming from the regions that we would like to reach into. Some are from those regions, some are from other regions. But we have this great opportunity as they're coming here to show love and appreciation to them. They actually become true foster children in your home, so that comes with financing and stuff from the state. Charlotte will be here to give you more of those details. But if you'd like to bring one of these children into your home, you have a great opportunity to show love and appreciation to them. And then I say this, when possible, travel on a short-term team. We'll be announcing these as time goes on. Help send a student or a neighbor. And I say that because some of you can afford to send. Some of you are afraid to go. Some of you, health-wise, you can't go, but we can help send somebody else. I say travel to Asia on a team. If you have some specialized aids, if giving of your time, abilities, various skills like this, taxes, web design, business consultant, cultural consultant, we need all of that. Seek how the Lord would use your talent, time, and resources to mobilize you in your unique role. Ask that simple question, as Brian said in the very beginning. And many of you are thinking, wow, I'm already too busy. I can never do any of this. Yesterday, I was on a run with, I'll just mention Randy because he's not here, but I was on a run with Randy, and we were talking about this, what we were going to do today, and I said, man, really what we're hoping is people would repurpose their moments, that people would just take the time that you already have and repurpose that and fold in what we're already doing. And I said, one of the most important things is prayer. And he goes, Larry, let's do that right now. And Randy bowed his head and prayed a prayer, and then we went off for our run. That's the kind of things that we're asking you to do. This idea that you would repurpose the moment or moments that you already have. So if you have a prayer time already, just add them to your prayer time. Think would be the next thing. When you hear about them on the news, when you see about a report about them, when you have, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes my idle time in my brain, it just starts thinking. So allow the Lord to direct your next steps as you're thinking about them. Say. The next thing I ask you to do is the word say. Talk about these with each other. As you guys leave church and you know each other, be talking about these folks. The Lord will knit your heart to them. Talk about ideas of how to reach them, ideas how to participate, what you can and can't do. Have a simple conversation right there, right in your own circle of family and friends. And finally, the last thing I would say is do. For some of you today, you're excited. You're like, oh, I got something to do. I'm going to go out and see one of those strategic partners that Larry talked about. All five that I talked about investing are here. And there's other ones that are waiting. Either way, if you need to wait and you need some more information or more time, that's great. If you're ready to go, come see me or come see one of our strategic partners. And serving may, in fact, cost you some of your time, treasures, talents. But I want you to remember this. Somebody went before us. For us to receive Christ, for us to hear the message, somebody else already did this. We're the benefit of somebody else investing so that we could hear the gospel. I'd like to close with these two scriptures. Galatians 6, 9 through 10 tells us this. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those of the household of faith. And in 1 Corinthians, it says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So join me in that. Worship team, can you guys come on out? And Brian, you want to come on up? Lord, I just want to take a moment and say thank you. I ask, Father, that I know is a lot of information this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would see it as a church, as an invitation to partner with you. I pray, Lord, as we have an opportunity to go on an amazing adventure together, that we would be able to start that now. And in 5 and 10 and 20 years from now, we could look back and see many people come to Christ, and we would be able to rejoice in what you did with and through us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, man. I'm going to fix two things real quick while these guys are getting set up out here. One is, I made a mistake, Larry, and I'm hearing you say it. It was Adoniram Judson, not Hudson Taylor. And so that was my bad. I gave you wrong information on that one. Secondly, the keynote was totally messed up because Apple just did an update on that. And so I'll fix it for the next service. So I apologize for the funny things that were happening with the keynote on there. Not that those all matter. They're just in my OCD mind. It does. Let's all stand for our last song.
Who can see? Shout the news to everyone. It's a new day, peace has come. Jesus is, mercy triumphs at the cross. Love has come to rescue us. Hope we see what a joyful noise we'll make as we join in heaven's song to let all the world know that Jesus saved. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. For you last, every death has been hearts can be remade. Jesus saves. Sing above the storms of life. Sing through the darkest night. Jesus saves. Oh, free at last. What a joyful noise we'll make as we join in heaven's song. Shout to let all the world know that Jesus. to shout, to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Sing it out, to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout, to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Oh, sing it out, to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout.
That is the key that all the world would know, and we want all the world to know. Let's participate in doing that. We hope you can stop by and meet some of our friends back there. They'd love to answer any questions and find out more about their ministries. God bless you. Have a great Sunday.